This is Miss Nora Hamilton. And she will be reading today's scripture.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, I'm Nora Hamilton, and today I will be reading John 15, 9 through 17. Let's just begin. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confine in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Thank you, Nora. So God, we thank you for the promise of your word. Lord, I pray right now that as these words come forth, that they will be from your heart and people will hear that. So hide me behind the shadow of the cross. For Lord, I am here to serve you, and I know, God, that this is your word to spring forth a life into people's lives and hearts today. For I know the things that many have been facing, but Lord, you tell us that you are our joy and our strength. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, before I get started today, it's important for y'all to know this. I could have created a message and had all these illustrations and things from all my years of experience, but that isn't what God wanted. Just like test driving a car before you buy it, you know, God would not let me preach even things that haven't done before, or have done before, I should say, that I can't bring back the old stuff and bring up old illustrations. It had to be fresh. And God said, I don't want you to give him leftovers or something that's been in the freezer that you could pull out and pop in the oven and everybody think it's fresh. But this is what has been going on in my life this week. When I told Jerry that I want to talk about the promise of joy, I thought, I know that one. That would be easy. It's just, you know, it's just sort of my personality. Talk about a test. Since last Wednesday, I'm here to tell you, my joy has been pushed to the limits. And so if I get a little emotional during these times today, it's not for a dramatic effect or that I'm trying to pull, oh, you're just doing that charismatic Pentecostal thing where you're pulling at our heartstrings trying to get us to react. No, folks, I'm telling you, this is real. And what is the first thing the devil tries to steal from you? Why is that? Because if he is successful, then he has stunted the growth of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and that stifles the Spirit's work in your life. Joy is the second one listed in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And since nothing can separate us from God's love, right? The devil goes after the other parts. And if he can steal your joy, then it's hard to have all the other parts of the Spirit, all the other fruit of the Spirit, to be growing in your life. Minister and author Samuel D. Gordon says, joy is defined as this. Joy is distinctly a Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. Joy has its spring deep down inside. And that spring never runs dry, no matter what. Only Jesus gives that joy. He had joy, singing its music even under the shadow of the cross. As a child, we were taught several songs that spoke to this fact. I learned, you know, children's church, it wasn't just a way to babysit the kids while the adults did their thing. They're taught the lessons of God and the Word of God, and these songs will be singing them even when they get to be our age and older. And so I was reminded of one that we sang as a child that is going to be the first point and should be forefront in our lives. Guess which one? So let's sing that. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. Today, to stay, whichever one you want to do. But there's also another verse. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart to stay. And then there's a verse that says, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Okay. So, no matter how you sang that, the joy was always said, joy where? So, joy starts where? Deep down in my heart. And what does the heart represent? Love. If you put up a heart symbol anywhere for anybody, what would they say? Love. You know, you got everybody doing these things now. Okay? And that is what it's all about. But you can't have joy without love. My William Shatner impersonation. You can't have joy without love. And you can't have peace without joy and love. And you can't have patience without joy, peace, and love. And you can't have kindness. See where I'm going here? God is the source of that love that we need, and that's what feeds our joy. John 15, verses 9 and 10 today says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So, in other words, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he didn't do as well. So, if you call yourself a Christian, which means Christ-like, then that means you do the things that Jesus did. Wow, that's so simple. I know. But so many times we forget the simple things. Today's text follows Jesus' words about the importance of abiding in the vine. You have to be in the vine to be nourished by it and to grow fruit. Have you noticed even the grocery store is selling tomatoes that are still on the vine? It's been sourced from the main, it's been cut from the main trunk, but because they even stay on those that little stem, that little branch for a little bit longer, they grow sweeter. The only thing is, did you know, it's a fun fact, grapes never get sweeter and never ripen once they've been cut from the vine. So whatever the sweetness level is in them, that's why the vineyards, they go out and they test them. They eat them. They're out there 3 or 4 times a week to test them before they have them harvested. Because if you pick them too soon, how many of you guys have ever had sour grapes? How many of you folks are sour grapes? Got to get back on the vine. Because we know that this is the strongest example I could find of why we need to stay attached, abiding, remaining in the vine in order to produce the sweetest and the best fruit. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14 said, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all you do be done in love." You've got 5 B's right there. Be alert. Be watchful. Because you never know where the Lord will lead you and how he might be able to use you. Be faithful. You can't just be a part-time Christian or a sometimer. It's all or nothing, baby. Plain and simple. You have to be a mature adult. You know, Paul writes in the Corinthians that when he was a child, I talked as a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, there's times that we need to be childlike in our faith, but not in our spiritual walk. Because a child can be self-centered. I want. It's my way or I'm not happy. Fine, I'm going to take my ball and go home. No. That's why we as Christians have to be alert, be faithful, be a strong and mature adult. And then the next part was be strong. This last week, or I should say week and a half, there were a lot of things that came in that could have stolen my joy. And the devil knew just the things, the buttons to push. And he was trying so hard. But it was the strength that the Lord gave me that I was able to withstand. Was I perfect? No. But I was faithful. And I was strong, and I was mature. And the last thing, we're supposed to be loving. It says, let all that you do be done in what? I could have used my position as pastor to force things to happen. I could have done my, well, I'm older than you. You need to respect me. But is that done in love? No. Motivational speaker and author Jim Rohn made this statement regarding love and joy and how they work together. He said, "Nothing can bring more joy to life than beautifully fulfilling relationships." Let me say that again. Nothing can bring more joy to life than beautifully fulfilling relationships. We all know that there are no flawless relationships, but there are meaningful ones. They don't just happen. We have to work at them. When I was in North Carolina working at a church, when I would sit with Tina, I always had my arm around her. And there were other guys in the church going, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "I love my wife." And "I know, but you're making me look bad." Sorry? But whether you're sitting in church with an arm around your wife or sitting there with your hand, holding hands during the service or even during worship time, that relationship has to be worked on all the time. And sharing that love and bringing Jesus into the middle makes it a lot easier, folks. He wants us to know that it, as John, the disciple here, wrote, and as we know, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. He wrote the most about God's love and gave us these words from Jesus to remind us that since we are called his disciples, we must live out, demonstrate, show everyone that we have love in all areas of our lives. We are to serve one another in love, and then that is what will bring us joy. Now, note, not happiness, joy. So what is the source of joy? John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full." So who is the source of our joy? Sunday school answer, come on. Jesus' joy is what we're supposed to have. Not what the world tells us. We're not finding joy in our jobs. We're not finding joy in our hobbies. We're not finding joy in other people. We're finding our joy in Jesus. And then that's what helps us to find joy in those other things. So why is it based on Jesus? That it may be full. All those other sources will fail you and let you down. But Jesus never fails. And not only that, it demonstrates to the world who our joy comes from and who is our source. From Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." David recognized where his source of strength came from, that his help comes from the Lord. The Lord protected him, the Lord helped him, and the Lord filled his heart with joy, so much so that he proclaimed it in song. Not just once, but multiple times. The Psalms were the songs that people sang. And they were songs of praise and thanksgiving. And we all know that our actions speak so much louder than our words. How about this? How you doing? Fine. Now, you go apologize to your brother. Sorry. What's the truth there? So our actions should always be demonstrating. I'm not saying we're going to have perfect times, okay? But even in our struggles, to remember, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is with me. He is my source of joy. Philippians 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." What's rejoice? Repeating the joy over and over. You know, some people don't like some of the modern day choruses we sing because it repeats a lot of words. But so did the angels. They proclaim their joy in singing, "Holy, holy, holy." They never grow tired of singing that praise. Paul wrote these words to the Philippian church to always be full of joy. And why? So that it would be a testimony to everyone around them. Because like it or not, they're watching you. I I was talking with a friend the other day that said that their granddaughter had been listening to them when they were driving and made a comment one time to someone, said, and they look up, "Bad driver." They're watching you. And even the world, they've seen other churches and how they react, and they've formulated an opinion, and so they automatically think that all churches and all Christians are that way. That's why it's our job to prove them wrong in love, so that we're not like everybody else. We're like Jesus. And that's our goal. That in everything we do, we show love. So point three, is joy conditional? James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." The ESV says, "Count it all joy when trials come." Are you kidding me? I got to face trials. And it says right here, in everything give what? Grumblings, murmurings, sarcasm? No. Give thanks. If you'll bring up the picture for me, Penny. This is the part that's hard for me. This is Shannon, her husband Kenny, and their son Kenton. And she named her son after our Kenton. Shannon was one of my kids in our youth group in North Carolina. And we were very close with that whole family. Last month, her mama wrote this. "Don't think for one second that she is sweet and compassionate, that just because she is sweet and compassionate that she is weak. Oh no, this girl can break a horse, train a dog, drive a boat, pull a four-horse trailer, and back it up wherever it needs to go. She can load and unload 50 bales of hay without complaint. She is strong and she is a fighter. However, she recently received a diagnosis of metastatic cancer in her breast, ovary, and a 5.9 centimeter tumor in the bone of her shoulder. She is currently having a bone scan to see if the cancer has camped out anywhere else. During this most devastating news, she has maintained her resolve to do whatever it takes to be victorious in this journey. She has not let this diagnosis steal her joy. She was asked to be a part of a clinical trial study at Duke Cancer Institute, and so far things are showing great promise." And this is a quote that I got from her husband, Kenny, when I told him that our church would be praying. "Thank you, Ken. We are giving this to God daily and trust Him for healing. Thank you for your prayers. I am believing that this will become a beautiful story to help someone else down the road." They are facing this trial, knowing that through it all, God will be glorified. So for all of you church folk, you probably remember the song, "Through It All, I've Learned to" what? Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And there's more to that story. But God's not done writing it yet. I don't care what you face this week. God was there with you every step of the way. And your joy is not determined by that. Your joy comes from the Lord. That is what helps you to react to those things around you during this week. In Nehemiah, the verse we're going to take you to, Nehemiah was heartbroken because his homeland was in ruins. And he went to the king and asked the king to let him go back home for a while to rebuild things, to help get his family safe. And the king gave him passage, gave him letters so that he'd get up the supplies as he went along the way. But when he got there, his heart was broken. It's like coming home after a devastating fire or a tornado had come through. It's hard to have joy at that time. But everything was in ruin, but he knew this. It was also the time of rebuilding. For God had given him that promise. So here in verse 10 of chapter 8 it says, "And Nehemiah continued, 'Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with the people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day for our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" If he came in mopey and sad, how would the people react around him? Think about it. "I'm here to tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength." Really? Nehemiah was there to encourage the people. I'm sorry to those people named Debbie and Nancy, but we don't want Debbie Downers or negative Nancys or sarcastic Sams. All those people, that they come into a room and it's like, "Oh, just take the wind out of everyone's sails." We need joyful Jerry. Or joyful Joyce. Joyce is, you've got joy in your name there. Recently, I was listening to K-Love Radio, and the hosts for the afternoon show were talking about having a good time, and they were laughing with some friends, and all of a sudden, someone came in, and that person was in a bad mood. Now, we can either let that person's mood suck the life out of us, or we just make the decision to bring them out of that mood, to join us in the joy that the Lord has given us. We're here to encourage people, to love them. And Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." We've been trying to think of ways, you know, to encourage people to come back. And all, you know, everybody's throwing all these ideas out, but it all goes back to, is our own personal decision. What am I going to choose? "Well, I can watch it online and get everything I need." Wrong. We need each other. This last week, We lost someone who was very dear to our hearts with Donna Jarvis. Donna hated it that she could not be here in church. And she hated it that she was in the nursing home and was only allowed one visitor for a 20-minute visit every day. For Donna was a people person. And she drew her strength and her energy from being around those people. We don't need to wither away, folks. That's why we need to come together. Because when we come together, there's that energy. And, you know, we talk about synergy and all that. We just get encouraged by one another. That's why we need to think of ways to motivate each other. To what? Love and good works. Even if it's just going over and mowing your neighbor's lawn, that can bring forth joy. Even if it's just holding the door for someone going into a restaurant. Well, they're going to get their name on the book before I get mine. So? We are the ones that have to choose. So will you choose joy or something else? The old statement says, you can either be bitter or you can be better. I choose joy. We make choices every day. We make a choice to get out of bed or roll over and just stay there. To get up and take a shower or just grab some clothes that may or may not be clean and get dressed. We make a choice to eat healthy or grab whatever sounds good, which usually ends up not being something that's good for you. We choose to get mad at the driver who cut us off, or we think, well, maybe God's slowing me down for a reason. You get the idea? God's word tells us in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, that nothing can separate us from his love. But he still gives us a choice of what are you going to do with it? What are you going to choose to do with it today? We are told that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Luke 6:45, in case you need the address. So our words, are they reflecting his love for him? And or our love for him and our love for others? Because that's what should be flowing through us. Believe me, I need his love flowing through me in order to love some people. Anybody else? Well, I've got to love you, but it doesn't mean I have to like you. Wrong. Growing up in children's church, bringing that back, we had a joy box. And the song that they taught us was, starts off with joy, but then right here. Get it started right. So it goes, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you in the heart of each girl and each boy. So J is for Jesus, for he takes first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, so whatever you do, put yourself third and spell joy. And yes, we had to do that same, it was always, do I got it right? Because sometimes joy ended up upside down. Yaj. But that doesn't put others first or last or anything else. But J is for Jesus. Put him first in everything you do. In your family, in your job, how you treat your neighbors, because that's where others comes in. And you're still putting others ahead of yourself. Well, it's not what I want to do. Join the party. But putting others and their needs ahead of us is how we'll find joy. Because why is for you, so whatever you do, put yourself third. That song doesn't set right in our self-centered world right now. Because we live in a world that's me first, or what's in it for me. And so it's our job as His beloved children to shine the light of God's love and joy. They, the world, has to see the hope, the grace, and the mercy that flows out of God's love. And it must be shown in the way that we live our lives. We can say it all we want, but unless you show it in your actions, all we are is a bunch of noisemakers. Paul tells us that if we don't have love, we're clanging gongs, or crashing gongs and clanging cymbals. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 through 1, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for what? A little while. I'm going to stop right there. What is a trial? If you get a trial size of your of cereal or soap or anything else, what is that? Small. Little. And even trial, as we know with court system, the trial has a start and an end. There will be an end. So it says, these trials will show your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fires tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So worship team, as you come up, I want to open up the altars and ask these questions. Maybe you've misplaced or lost your joy. Jesus wants to meet you here and restore the joy of your salvation. Remember, Pastor Jerry talked last week that it's a process that we have to work on daily: justification, sanctification, and glorification, all under the umbrella of our salvation. Or maybe you're feeling weak from all the things that this world has been throwing at you lately. Jesus wants to meet you here and let you know that His joy will be your strength as you cast all your cares on Him. And finally, maybe the devil has put a cork in the fountain of your joy by filling your mind with distractions and lies. Jesus wants you to let go and let God do the work in your life so that joy will be a bubbling fountain that flows in and through your whole being so that others can see it. And why do I say all this? The last verse, or 15, 16, I should say. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that I get glory, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So in the name of Jesus, I challenge you. I call you out. I invite you. Don't live without your joy. Be refreshed with it today. Because we need each other. Jesus is calling forth a team to share the joy that this world so desperately needs. And he's counting on you, and you, and you, and you. But he's not going to force you. But his arms are open wide to say, come to me and find peace and rest and joy and grace.